Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike. Do you have a question about your health? Dr. Mike can answer your questions. Just email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call now 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
So my first question today is about calcium. Should I include dietary and supplement sources in calculating my total calcium intake? So we have, I'm going to say more integrative doctors, you know, doctors who integrate West and East, you know, whatever modality is necessary. We've been talking about anywhere between 1,000 milligrams to even upwards of 1,500 milligrams a day of calcium for postmenopausal women, women who are menstruating, maybe a little less, but not too much less, maybe 750 to 1,000 milligrams. And so I think, you know, people are starting to question a little bit about that much calcium, given the fact that there's been some negative studies with relating calcium intake to, specifically supplement calcium intake to heart disease in women. And of course, I've talked about those studies before. I'm not going to go into that again. Those studies were just poorly designed. They didn't look at other nutrients that are important to help manage calcium, like vitamin D, vitamin K2. We've talked about that before. But I think this is a good question. I think sometimes when we talk about a certain amount of a nutrient we want you to get every day, I don't think we're always clear about, is that dietary plus supplement or just supplement? And in the case of calcium, and it's really an individual case, each nutrient's a little bit different, but in the case of calcium, it is, you know, I want you to calculate your total intake of calcium from both sources. Right, and it needs to come out probably around 1,500 milligrams a day if you're not menstruating anymore. So that's a good question. I like to look at both of those. So you need to look at the foods you're eating. Now that's not as, I guess that's not always easy to do, but you know, thank God for Google. You can just go online just put in, you know, the amount of calcium in kale, the amount of calcium in spinach, you know, whatever it is you're eating. And there's all kinds of charts like that on websites and stuff. So it's not as hard as it used to be to do that. So yes, you do want to look at both supplement and dietary sources. And we're still shooting for about 1,500 milligrams of calcium a day. Yes, take your other nutrients, vitamin D, vitamin K2. Critical for calcium management. Okay, next question has to do with magnesium. What's the difference between red blood cell magnesium and serum magnesium? My serum magnesium level is normal, but my red blood cell level is low. Well, let me just start off answering that by saying if your red blood cell magnesium level is low, that's the one you look at. Red blood cell magnesium is a better, you know, gives us a better measurement of your overall true magnesium status. Okay, so if you get a red blood cell magnesium, don't even look at the serum one. You know, but this is a good question because you know I think more and more we're going to be seeing tests looking at these minerals within certain cells. So there's already like a red blood cell folate cell test out there. There's, as I just said here, red blood cell magnesium test. So what's the difference between those standard ones you've been getting and a red blood cell measurement? Well, it turns out that the amount of a mineral or any nutrient really in the blood at any given time is so transient, it's just hard to really have a lot of confidence in that number. We also know that, you know, magnesium, for instance, you know, at any given time, only about, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but or percentages, but you know, maybe 5%, 10% of your total magnesium is in the blood at any given time. Most of it's in other places, muscle, bone, and red blood cells. So looking at a specific target like a red blood cell gives us more confidence in the number we're actually looking at. So a red blood cell folate level, a red blood cell magnesium level, and probably soon in the future, all of these nutrient profiles are going to be looking at these specific targets like that, certain cells, far better than just a serum check, a blood check, okay? So if your red blood cell magnesium level was low, it's low. Don't worry about what the serum level said. What's normal? I think the normal red blood cell magnesium level is like 5 or 6. I think the conventional labs will list the range, a broader range, like 2 to 6. I think that's way too broad of a range. I think it's more like 5 to 6. So if you're less than 5, then you have a magnesium deficiency. We need to improve that. And remember, magnesium deficiencies are associated with blood pressure, muscle issues, brain issues, heart issues. I mean, magnesium is important for the number I always see, like 300 biochemical reactions. Yeah, something like that. It's a lot. It's important. It's interesting. A lot of the age-related diseases and symptoms we see in aging Americans in this country mimic or match what you'll read just on Google about magnesium deficiency. You know, look at the average symptoms that people complain about that they go into their doctor's office with: sleep issues, muscle issues, headaches, blood pressure, all these things. Just look at that. They rank those things all the time. Here's the top 5 symptoms people go see their doctor about. And then compare that to just a list of symptoms from low magnesium. And it's an eye-opener. They match. Now, I'm not saying that magnesium is a low magnesium or magnesium deficiency causing all those things, but it's interesting that they match. Maybe it is. I don't know. So, yeah, take more magnesium. And if you want to know if you really need it, do the red blood cell magnesium level, shooting for a 5 to 6 milligrams per deciliter in your blood. I just looked the units up here. Again, thank God for Google. Okay. Let's move on to some more questions here. I think I'm okay on time. A couple minutes left. Okay. Are there any health benefits to coffee and chocolate? Well, let's talk about both of those separately. The simple answer is yes. There's benefits to coffee and chocolate. Well, let me talk about the chocolate first. I'm not talking about candy bars. A lot of people just went, oh. No, I mean, yes, chocolate itself, has, especially the darker, the dark chocolate, the cocoa butter, has some good antioxidants. You know, dark chocolate has been shown to improve the health of the cardiovascular system. What's really interesting about dark chocolate antioxidants is that they seem to improve the health of the cells that line the inside of the arteries. Those are called endothelial cells. And when you improve the health of the endothelial cell, you're improving the health of the overall cardiovascular system. We can measure that by the production of nitric oxide, which is the compound, the chemical compound that allows arteries to dilate and relax, you know, with the heart, dump, 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 dump. Nitric oxide at the artery level is what's running that, and that comes from the endothelial cells. So endothelial cells that are able to produce more and more nitric oxide, we believe that's a healthier endothelial cell. Well, dark chocolate antioxidants improve nitric oxide production. There's also some evidence that dark chocolate can improve blood pressure. Yeah, so that's good, but not the candy bar that has sugar and, you know, added fat and gunk in it. Dark chocolate, if you want to enjoy a little bit of dark chocolate, maybe a bar that's like 75% dark cocoa. That's what you want to shoot for. It's a little bit bitter, but it's better. Coffee, yeah. Coffee has chlorogenic acid in it, which is helpful in managing sugar and insulin. We just talked about that, chlorogenic acid. So a coffee a day. Oh, as a matter of fact, coffee has also been shown to reduce the risk of certain cancers like prostate, breast. I did a blog on coffee and cancer if you go to the lifeextension.com website. So there you go. Yeah, they are good for you. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.